You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Dog Pound, be sure to tune in to News Channel 5, the new TV home of the Cleveland Browns, to watch every Browns preseason game this year, this Saturday. News Channel 5 will have a pregame show for you, episode 3 of Building the Browns, and we will also have a postgame show for you. So lots of great stuff there. And then on Sunday, inside the Cleveland Browns, of course, Dog Pound Report with me and Matt Wilhelm. So lots of stuff to digest on News Channel 5, your TV home for the Cleveland Browns.
You'll be back by then?
I'll be back, I believe, at like 3 in the morning.
Wow. You're going to be a trooper.
That's how I do it.
Bright-eyed and bushy-tailed for that Dog Pound Report.
That's what I do. All right.
Never played the game!
He's elusive! He's never played the game. The other guy who was elusive, E.J. Bibbs, has forced 6 missed tackles. Every other tight end in the NFL has forced 16 combined. But
that's
he has played the game. He had played the game before. 8 touchdowns at
he
Iowa
has.
State. Tied for the most among all tight ends in the Power 5 conferences for those keeping score at home. Thank you very little. Now we're going to hear from the defensive coordinator of your Cleveland Browns, Mr. Jim O'Neill.
All right. I think it's been a great camp. I think our players have done a really nice job laying the foundation mentally and physically for the regular season. I like where we're at as a group. You know, I can really see those guys starting to take ownership of the defense. And it's not just the coaches coaching and holding the players accountable. They're doing a good job in meetings out on the practice field. If guys mess up or guys aren't hustling the ball like we talk about, it's great when it comes from them instead of the coaches. So I'm happy where we're at with the players. I'm excited about the game this Saturday just to see where we're at as a defense. We're starting to get some guys back to be healthy, which is always a plus. I think the coaching staff has done an unbelievable job throughout training camp. The meetings have been great. They've done a great job coaching the details of all their players' assignments. They've kept the guys motivated, kept it fun for the guys. And then I think that the coaching wives have done a great job too. You know, they have. You know, it's a hectic schedule. They've been flexible with us, bringing the kids up, making sure that they could see us when we're available. So it's been great. And when they do that, it makes our jobs a lot easier because we can really just focus on football. And they've allowed that to happen the past 4 weeks.
Do you have any sense of how much better you think your defensive line is going to be through preseason as opposed to last year, where I know you had a lot of injuries?
It's obviously it's a deep group. I think the competition has definitely elevated the play of the position group. I think we'll be better up front. There's going to be some tough decisions to be made on who makes the 53 and then who's up on game day. You know, it might be a situation where we might have to cut a guy or two that can play in this league. There might be a situation where we have a damn good player standing on the sideline on game day. But Coach Weaver and Coach Tuioti have done an unbelievable job developing that group, and I like where we're at.
You talk about Paul Kruger. You expect after the season he had last year, that team are going to double team him or really mark him or what?
I do. I think that the one thing, Krug's done a really nice job. We're playing him more at Sam linebacker this year than rush linebacker than we did a year ago, which is going to make it's going to make it hard on teams to double team him because he's going to probably do some dropping the coverage stuff for us on earlier downs. So when you're a 50-50 guy on early downs, Paul's going to get some favorable matchups against tight ends and running backs. Whereas last year he played a lot more rush linebacker where you're going against an offensive tackle a lot. But I do think teams are going to have to plan for him in obvious passing situations when he's aligned at defensive end rushing the quarterback. But Paul's a guy that has done a really good job for us learning both positions as far as the outside linebacker room's concerned. And he's done a really nice job improving in his run technique, and I think that's going to help us this year.
What have you seen in Danny Shelton, and what does he still need to work on?
You didn't see my lava? No. he's done a great job. He brings a ton of energy. I think he's proven, you know, throughout the first couple preseason games, and the 2 days we spent out in Buffalo, he's going to command a double team in the run game. I think he's going to be very hard for guys to single block. I love the energy he brings. He can push the pocket in the pass game, so he's going to help us. Thumbs up on Danny Shelton. I'm excited about him.
Were there any doubts in your mind when you drafted him that he would be able to push the pocket in the pass game, that he could be more than a two-down guy?
No, and I know that there was a lot of talk about that. You know, going in, he's only a first-down player, stuff to run and get off the field. We never felt that way about him. I know there was a lot of stuff out there about the 40-yard dash and all. To me, if you just turn on the tape, you saw what you had in the player. Me, Coach Weaver, we went out. We spent a full day with him. We took him out to dinner. We loved the person. We loved the player. We loved everything that he represented. We always saw him going into the draft process as a guy that could be dominant on early downs and a guy that could help us in passing situations by pushing the pocket. So he might not have a ton of sack production, but he's going to cause a lot of production for the other guys out there.
In college, I think he averaged over 70 snaps.
Yep.
Do you have a pitch count for him once the regular season starts going?
I mean, we're going to roll guys up front just because the fresher those guys can be, the better they'll be. But we haven't gotten to that much detail. Sometimes it's how the game goes. You know, how much two tight ends, two backs are they in, or one tight end, two backs versus three wide receivers, one back. You know, just our defensive personnel groups are a little bit dictated by what the offense is in. So some of that can control it, but he's going to be out there. He's going to be out there a good amount. I hope it's not 70 plays. I'd like to take only 55 to 60 plays on defense. You know, usually when you get up in that 70 to 80 play mark, you know, you're higher risk of injury and, you know, you're not getting off the field.
What did he eat? I mean, you say he took him out to dinner. Do you remember what he had when you took him out to
dinner? Danny, we went to it was great. So we told, you know, we went out there, we worked out Shaq Thompson, we worked out Danny, and then we worked out, who else did we work out? Worked out another defensive end. But, the Sam linebacker out there, the guy who went to New Orleans. But we went to just like some sub shop, some mom and pa's sub shop, and he did. He got one of those sandwiches that were about that big and that thick. And, you know, Coach Weaver's like, oh, we don't have to talk to him about how much he eats. But it was just great. You know, those guys we could have went to a steakhouse or a nice restaurant, and that's where they wanted to go. Just says a lot about who he is as a person.
Is there a player or two that has surprised you during training camp on defense?
I like to go by each level of the defense. If I started up front, just you know, the draft picks are the draft picks. I've been very impressed with all those guys. You know, Dylan Wynn's gotten some attention. I just love how he plays the game, what he represents as a person. And he's going to give you everything he has. He's had to play out of position some for us just because of injury, but he's a guy that I've really been impressed with. I think the injuries in the back end have really allowed some DBs to step up. I think IC has done a great job at safety. He's played almost the entire two preseason games, and I think you've been able to see how physical he's going to be in the run game. He's where he's supposed to be in the pass game, and I think he's only going to get better as he spends time in the system. Feichter, who we call Flex, has been another guy who's gotten a million reps, and he's done a great job. He's just been a smart, tough guy out there for us that puts himself in position and makes the plays he's supposed to make. And then the two corners who have really come on the past week have been Kendall James and Charles Gaines. Those were two guys, and I told them, you know, maybe 2 weeks ago, they weren't in the conversation to make the 53, and the way they performed over the past week, they've both put themselves very much in the conversation to make the 53. I mean, they both went up to Buffalo like they were on a mission, and they've consistently made plays after play after play. So I've been very happy with those two guys.
Jim, I know Justin Gilbert's hurt right now, but what's the next step for him in terms of kind of getting his confidence back and being a productive player for you guys?
I think it's just consistency. You know, he's had some really good moments. He's had some bad moments, obviously. He's just got to be more consistent. And to me, that's that position. And I think learning how to play consistent and trusting your technique every single play having that mentality, the ball's coming at me every single play and not relaxing, is something that you learn in this league. It takes some guys longer than it takes other guys. But I think that that's the one thing, if you had to put your finger on it, he's just got to be more consistent every single play, from practice to practice, from game to game, if you're going to be out there full time.
Do you sense that he's, does he get it? I mean, is he starting to get it and understand what it takes to be a pro?
He's further along than where he was last year. I mean, I still think he has some ground to make up.
Can a corner play and succeed in the league without confidence?
No. You got to have confidence to play out there, especially in our scheme.
You see him suffering from lack of confidence?
No. I mean, you got to have a short-term memory if you play corner. I mean, everybody's going to get beat. I mean, the best, you know, Joe Hayden's been beat. Richard Sherman gets beat. Darrell Revis gets beat. Deion Sanders got beat. You know, you got to have short-term memory and let's go. I mean, that's got to be within you. You got to be able to push through some stuff and. But at the end of the day, you got to be able to fall back on your technique and your teaching. I mean, to me, that's what gives you confidence out there. You just can't go out there and play and street ball. I'm not saying he's doing that, but to me, when you have a good foundation, you know, if you're having a bad day, you can always fall back on that and get yourself out of it.
He had said when he played in college, he didn't play with any technique.
No, he didn't.
So that seemed to be a pretty uphill climb. I mean, he's starting from scratch.
Well, there's a lot of guys in college that are unbelievable athletes who are so gifted, they can just go out there and dominate. You know, there's a lot of guys like that, you know. So, and you're not going to get away with that at this level, you know, because everybody's gifted. So you better have technique at this level if you're going to be successful.
I guess that was my question. Do you have to make a big projection with those guys then? If you look at him, and, I mean, to us, it's like the guy doesn't have a lot of technique. That would be a warning sign, maybe not to draft this guy, but are there other guys, a lot of other guys like that?
Well, no, because I think, you know, the athletic skill set's there, the size is there, the length's there, everything you look for is there. You know, we got three great coaches back there, and Jeff Hafley, Bobby Babich, and Aaron Glenn. You know, it's just a process, guys. You know, it just takes some time. Some guys it happens a little quicker, some guys it might take a couple years, you know, so... I wish I had the answer. I don't. He's had some great moments. He's had some not so great moments. He's just got to continue to fight and push through it.
Have you reached a frustration level with him where you think he should be ahead of where he is and he should be on the field and he's not there for you?
No.
When you went through the interview process with him last year, didn't any of these signs crop up, you know, like his – you know, his problem with being a pro. I mean, didn't you get a sense of something was missing when you talked to him
before the draft? Not any more than what would come up with other players. So, no.
This is a guy that you spent the 8th pick of the draft on. It's not like he's a 6th rounder and you took a chance on him.
Look at him, though. I mean, do you still have a considerable amount of hope that he can be a starting cornerback and live up to the pick?
Yes. Yes.
Defense coordinator Jim O'Neill spending a lot of time on Justin Gilbert. He's the one that everybody wants to talk up. I thought he singled out a couple guys that we had talked about in the secondary, Ibrahim Campbell, and then, of course, the young guys, Kendall James, in the 6th round out of Louisville, Charles Gaines. We'll be back with our final thoughts wrapping up this Tuesday edition of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, right after this.